What I Saw in California by Edwin Bryant, written in 1846, published in 1848. Chapter 21. September 3rd. We remained encamped near Sutter's Fort, or Fort Sacramento as subsequently it has been named. This morning we were visited by numerous Indians from the neighboring rancherias, who brought with them watermelons, muskmelons, and strings of panfish, taken from a small pond about half a mile distant with a sort of hand trap. The Indians wade into the pond with their traps in hand and take with them the fish, sometimes by dozens at a haul. These they wished to trade for such small articles as we possessed and the cast-off clothing of the members of our party. Some of these Indians were partially clothed, others were entirely naked, and a portion of them spoke the Spanish language. They exhibited considerable sharpness in making a bargain, holding their wares at a high valuation. And although their desire to trade appeared to be strong, they would make no sacrifices to obtain the articles offered in exchange for them. But such was the desire of our men to obtain vegetables, of which they had been for so long a time deprived, that there was scarcely any article which they possessed which they would refuse to barter for them. The Indians generally are well made and of good stature, varying from 5 feet 4 inches to 5 feet 10 and 11 inches in height, with strong muscular developments. Their hair is long, black, and coarse, and their skin is a shade lighter than that of a mulatto. They appear to be indolent and averse from labor of every kind, unless combined with their sports and amusements, when they are as reckless of fatigue and danger as any class of men I have seen. By invitation of Captain Sutter, addressed to myself and Mr. Jacob, we visited and dined at the fort. The fort is situated near the confluence of the Rio de los Americanos and the Rio Sacramento. The valley of the Sacramento is here of great width, and consequently the fort is surrounded by an extensive plain, bounded by distant mountains on the east and on the west. This plain exhibits every evidence of a most fertile soil. The grasses, although they are now brown and crisp from the periodical drought, still stand with their ripened seeds upon them, showing their natural luxuriance. Groves or parks of the evergreen oak relieve the monotony of the landscape, and dot the level plain as far as the eye can reach. Captain Sutter received us with manifestations of cordial hospitality. He is a gentleman between 45 and 50 years of age, and in manners, dress, and general deportment, he approaches so near what we call the old-school gentleman as to present a gulfy contrast from the rude society by which he is surrounded. Captain Sutter is a native of Switzerland, and was at one time an officer in the French army. He emigrated to the United States and was naturalized. From thence, after a series of most extraordinary and romantic incidents, to relate which would furnish matter for a volume, he planted himself on the spot where his fort now stands, then a savage wilderness, and in the midst of numerous and hostile tribes of Indians. With the small party of men which he originally brought with him, he succeeded in defending himself against the Indians until he constructed his first defensive building. He told me that several times, being hemmed in by his assailants, he had subsisted for many days upon grass alone. There is a grass in this valley which the Indians eat that is pleasant to the taste and nutritious. He succeeded by degrees in reducing the Indians to obedience, and by means of their labor erected the spacious fortification which now belongs to him. The fort is a parallelogram, about 500 feet in length and 150 in breadth. The walls are constructed of adobes, or sun-dried bricks. The main building, or residence, stands near the center of the area, or court, enclosed by the walls. A row of shops, storerooms, and barracks are enclosed within and line the walls on every side. Bastions project from the angles, the ordnance mounted in which sweep the walls. The principal gates on the east and the south are also defended by heavy artillery through portholes pierced in the walls. At this time, the fort is manned by about 50 well-disciplined Indians and 10 or 12 white men, all under the pay of the United States. These Indians are well-clothed and fed. The garrison is under the command of Mr. Kern, the artist of Captain Fremont's exploring expedition.